Have you seen this podcast? Coming from the garden aisle. Have you seen this podcast? Aldrin, Aaron, and Kahai. This is the podcast. This is the podcast. With lots of aloha. Here they come from Kauai.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Ukulele on the Ground podcast. My name is Aldrin Guerrero. Joining me are Mr. Aaron, the voice. Now, come over, say what's up, Aaron.
What's up?
And Mr. Kahai, the legend, Fergan. Say what's up, Kahai.
What's up?
Special guest, Funk Master Magic, Mike Odo. What's up, man? How's it going?
How's it going, guys?
Nice to see you.
For extraordinary
KCC Jazz Band from the 2024 Jazz Festival. How
Indeed.
Are you, sir?
I am rested. Better, more rested than I was.
I wish I could say the same thing. Oh, man. So, welcome, everyone, here at the Ukulele on the Ground podcast. We talk any and all things ukulele and some things not ukulele. You know what I mean? Sometimes we can't just talk ukulele all the time, right?
Absolutely.
Or can
not.
We? I think we can. But
we could, but.
You know, like maybe just keep it fun sometimes. Be a light.
Would be the
you
know joy in that.
I know. We usually do a UU Plus live coaching, so our subscribe members can meet up with us, like talk story or like ask us questions or show us what they're working on. I can kind of provide feedback and stuff. Sit down. First thing, it's like, tell us about double flats and double sharps. Like, whoa. Like, I just sat down. No, but it was cool because, like, and it's one of those, like, I was trying to figure out, like a scenario to make it. Because I can't just be like, oh, well, you know, like, you have to write it as double sharp sometimes because you can't have two of the same letter in
right.
there. You know, so that I knew that explanation wasn't going to be good enough. Like, I need to provide, like, an example. I'm like, okay, you're playing a key of C sharp, and, you know, like, that F sharp is going to be a double sharp because you cannot have a G and a G sharp in there, correct? Okay, yeah. For you folks that are like, hey, what? No, you already lost me. It's like the first 3 minutes of the show and you already lost me. No, that's, see? Imagine sitting down and having to be like, okay, I'm going to come up with a scenario right now.
Yeah. You know? I remember in high school and it's like, you know, Mike would test me on scales and stuff. And it's like, okay, so what's the next note? And it's like supposed to be an E sharp. And I go F. He's like, nope, it's called E sharp. I'm like, but it's an I hold it on my trumpet. I'm holding it like this, I'm playing
no,
this
written
note.
Music, dude. That's that is not an F. It's an E sharp. Or what key would it be to have a B sharp in there?
B sharp,
C sharp, right?
C sharp,
C sharp. You would have a B sharp.
Mm-hmm.
It's things like that. We're like, what? But isn't that just a C? It's like. No, not in that key.
not in that key. I hate it when I said it's the same thing. And then Mike is like, no, technically it's not. It's
Yeah, you know. Okay, well, you know, welcome. So that's what we do. We answer any and all of your ukulele questions, no matter how difficult. And I'm glad that we have our Funk Master guest over here, because if you ask me stuff like double sharp, you know who's got that answer? This guy. I don't care if he just sat down, he's like, oh yeah, this, bam. Giving him your best BYU wisdom.
Yeah, because even when our member asked us that, it took us a little bit to figure out like
a scenario, because I knew what it was, but I was like, what? Like, how do I put this in ukulele context, you know?
Yeah. And it's like...
of which there is not that much.
Yeah, there isn't. No, I had a hard time like trying to figure out a scenario. Because, like, in C sharp, if I'm playing the chord, it would just be C sharp, F sharp, G sharp.
Right.
And C sharp chords-wise, you know? Like, but in if you're writing it,
right.
Like it's
yeah,
It only matters if you write it. Yeah.
And if you're using standard musical notation.
Yeah. So, I mean, the answer matters. Basically was just like, you don't got to worry about it. All that, like playing ukulele, unless you're reading like written stuff, you don't really got to worry all that much.
Yeah.
But I wanted to provide context of why. Because, you know, like the next follow-up question is like, what do you mean? I don't have to worry about it, you know? And I'm pretty sure she wasn't going to, you know, she would have just taken the answer of like, I'm like, okay, I don't have to worry about it. But me as a teacher, I'm like, let me tell you why you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, double sharps, double flats, especially like that, or B sharp, E sharp type of things. Outside of written music, there's not much. Although there is a thing, if you are going to endeavor to learn all of your scales, it is learning how to name them right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it won't make sense if you just say there's an F and an F sharp. The only scales that have that are like alter scales, like blues scales and things like that, where you will see multiple of the same note name and then one's altered with a sharp or flat. That's about it, really.
Yeah, but you know, if you just, if you're just playing with the ukulele club and like playing island style and drop baby drop, you don't worry about it, right, Mike?
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that at all.
Because even if you're like jamming with somebody, right, Mike, and then you're trying to explain what chord to play next, and it's in the key of like C sharp or whatever, would you just say? Would you say, "Oh, play an E sharp chord," or would you just play F?
No, I mean, if we're just jamming around, I might just say an F.
Yeah.
Right. Because it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do that. Yeah, the only time I might be more specific about that is if maybe someone's asking in a songwriting term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you're actually thinking of like 1-4-5 and things like that.
And it has to be written. It's all written.
And then if it's you got to think about it, then it doesn't make sense necessarily.
Yeah.
To like write a C sharp chord, then an F chord, then an F sharp chord.
Yeah.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. All right. So, not to scare off any more audiences already, I'm like, oh my God, they've started already on this music theory thing. We can talk about anything.
Yeah. It's like a couple of weeks ago when we told you, like, teach us a tapping thing. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then it's like, nope, the kid already left. He's
like, nope, not interested anymore. Nope. Yeah. Ignored.
Oh, you lost me. Oh, okay, bye.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I like reading funny comments. Someone's like, for a professor, you're actually not that great at tapping. I was like, I never said I was. Someone asked me a question. Like, tapping is not a thing in my repertoire, actually. I use it for maybe one song. Yeah. And it's like a party trick, you know?
I saw that comment too, and I was kind of like, I'd like to see what you could do.
I mean, that's a normal defense, right? But I'm just like, I don't really care that much.
Also,
also, I don't really care. So, yeah, Teflon skin, baby. Teflon skin, man. I read them, though. You know
that's what you need in order to be on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I read them just because they're hilarious, you know? But it's just to kind of see like what, you know, what people will post or what people will comment on or what people will grumble about. Like it's hilarious like to see some of that, you know, and one that is attached still, I don't really care, but I like using it as a device for a little Friday Live jam as a funny joke. Is like someone, it wasn't even on one of our videos. It was like on someone else's video. I'm not going to say. But like they said that like, oh, this is way better than the UU like Friday jams where they play like the same four songs over and over. I'm like, let me tell you why you're wrong, but I don't want to really.
Blame the wheel.
Exactly. I'm like, have you watched the show? Yeah. It's like, it's all random, you know? Like, it's all the songs are random. It's either random or it's like an audience request, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, if we do play the same four songs, that's because that's what the audience wants us to do, but I'm not going to argue it.
And we've seen where people are like, oh, you're playing this song again? You guys just played it. But then when we actually like look in the archives, it's like, it's been a year since we played this song. I don't know what you're talking about.
It just seems like maybe you were playing it at home like a lot.
I'm so tired
of the song. But yeah. And then like there's a shout out song, which is different every week.
Yeah.
You know? So it's one of those where I'm just like, you're like super wrong, but I'm too tired to be like, no, you see, this is what we like. And then, so I just use it as a device on Friday to like, hey, you person who said that we're Dana. Yeah. But I don't really care. I just use it as like kind of like, hey, see, we don't do that. It just becomes part of the show now. Ah, I love it. Yeah. Troll harder. Because I will just troll right back.
Whoever that was.
I'll just troll right back.
He played a song he hadn't played in like 8 years last week. Yeah.
Keep doing it, because there's gonna be a week where we're gonna play one song the whole time, 5-6 times.
I feel like
Andy Kaufman. I'm not against like playing Drop Baby Drop for an hour straight.
can you say that again, Mike? But I finally get
it's
to use
open
it.
Open mic. I'm gonna make you mad. I don't care what you think. And you're right. I don't care what you think. But whoever said that, this guy played the Egyptian song last week.
That's true, which we never played.
Which he never played. Came up, and then he did it.
Yeah. You're always playing that Daniel Cummings song.
Always Daniel Cummings, you know. It's just funny.
You don't know
it's
what you're talking
song,
about.
Right?
Yeah, it becomes like a meme.
As someone who's had to follow him on Friday Jams, let me tell you how much he does not stick to a formula.
Oh, even if it's written music, apparently this past Sunday concert or Saturday concert, I will not stick to the script. Apparently, if the tempo says 90 beats per minute, that's 190 to be. All right, so. What we do here in the show that should have started 12 minutes ago is we answer any and all of your questions. We are live.
The question.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we did. So we are live. That means you guys can ask your questions via live chat. Or if you prefer, you can email it to us. You can send us a voicemail. We can play the voicemail on the, you know, on the show. Or if you'd rather just not, we could not, you know. But yeah, ask us anything, preferably about the ukulele. But you can also ask us about other things as well. You know, like, where did I get this awesome shirt?
Hey, Aldrin.
Yeah.
Where did you get that awesome shirt?
Oh, dude, Aldrin.com. Aldrin.com, baby. We have this awesome acoustic robot love songs pocket tee. See? Yeah. That's me in robot form. That's my hat. You
it's
know?
Like Asterix, not a real pocket.
Yeah, not a real pocket. It doesn't work. It's just, you're just feeling my chest at this point, which don't. Yeah. You know? your hand's going to get lost in the amount of extra layers. But yeah, it's cool. On the shoulder, there's like my signature on there. See, it's Aldrin Guerrero on it with the heart. And you just kind of wanted to show off some of the stuff that we have on the Aldrin.com store. Love it. Pretty comfy. Just being honest, I actually really like the print. The print is like nice and dark. Usually when you use stuff like print on demand kind of things, it tends to get kind of, you know, like thin or, you know.
Yes.
Like, yeah, as far as the print goes, the print looks nice though. I mean, this is my first time wearing it, so I'm going to have to give you an update like after a few washes. But we've already taken everything that I ordered it so that we can test it basically, you know, like to test the quality. Of the printing quality of the shirt, we're already going to, you know, like take all the data that we've collected and make it even better. So it's gonna be fun, and we're looking forward to printing a lot of cool and fun like ukulele underground stuff, because I think we're using the same for ukulele underground now.
Yeah, so a bunch of people ordered the tie dye shirt already. Mm-hmm. So thank you for.
Oh, some people got it. Yeah. So got the shirt and
they said. It's looking good. Awesome, like the print looks good, or like the embroidery looks good, and the colors look good. So yeah, I think we're pretty comfortable with like suggesting like if you want a tie-dye shirt, go check it out.
Shop.ukuleleunderground.com. Yeah, shop.ukuleleunderground.com for you use stuff for this stuff. It's Aldrin.com for Aldrin shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, so what do you guys want to talk about?
Yes. So we briefly mentioned that you played this weekend.
I did.
Yeah. Do you want to kind of give a rundown of that, and then we'll get into the question?
Yeah, great, because Mike is here. So
that's why I came.
Mike's actually the guy who got the whole thing rolling. But let's talk about what it is first. So this past weekend was a 2024 jazz festival for Koi Community College. Mm-hmm. Koi Community College jazz festival. So Koi Community College is the only college in the UH system that offers a full
instrumental program.
That's it. So and part of the instrumental program is doing a spring concert, if you will, and this was that said spring concert. Mike and I have always been kind of like joking around with the fact that, like, you know what we should do? We should take some of the songs from Bandido Tyler and we should, you know, like make them into like big band stuff. And I guess like he put that into the ear of Sarah Tuchiki, who is the director, the band director over at KCC. And she was down with the idea, right? Yep. So how did that go? Like,
even before the pandemic, we were doing this jazz fest. So we did two of them before the pandemic hit. Mm. And we featured someone who's been featured a lot on this channel, Abe.
Yeah.
He was our first guest artist. He played ukulele as well as drums.
Yeah.
And the year after, we brought in DeShannon Higa, who's a amazing trumpeter from Honolulu. Trumpet, yeah. And then the world went nuts. And so we didn't do it for a few years. And then we were also waiting for KCC Theater to open up.
Yeah, yeah. The Performing Arts Center.
The Performing Arts Center has been closed for 4 years due to just structural damage. And, you know, it's that sort of thing where it's like, fix it now. Otherwise, it'll cost 3 times as much and take you 10 times as long. Something like that. That's why it was closed for 4 years.
Because you were saying a lot of the stuff was built into the structure and it was like kind of difficult to, you know, to...
Yeah, well, some of it is like the structure of... Like there were leaks and things like that. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you don't handle a structural leak, that is not good because then things start to rust out. But then the real issue then comes if you have a giant metal box, it gets really hot in there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You have leaks, then it's hot. Mold starts to grow. And then once mold grows, then it's like Department of Health comes in.
Yeah.
And so all that
condemns the place. Yeah.
You know? it's fine. We're holding a blue cheese festival.
the penicillin fest.
Pretty yeah, yeah. yeah.
So
anyway, I'm cured. I came out of that concert like feeling pretty good.
Healthier.
Yeah, healthier.
Anyway, yeah. So last year we thought about it. The year before we thought about it. But there was just we just didn't have a structure for that yet. And we'd been playing in other places, the Philippine Culture Center and the Lihue Veterans Center. And none of that just seemed like the right place to try and do the festival.
Yeah.
We really want to wait
till
we...
places kind of just bounce off the walls.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's
you know,
insane.
It just didn't seem like the sort of place where the level of the festival, you know, the way we want to present it, It just didn't seem to. Mm-hmm. So we're just like, yeah, we'll let it go for now.
Yeah.
And as soon as we knew KCC was open again, okay, like, okay, jazz festival. We are doing in 2 weeks. We're also doing the All Kauai Honor Band along with the KCC Wind Symphony. Mm-hmm. We're bringing in Mike Nakasone, the old the director emeritus of the Royal Hawaiian Band, to come conduct it.
Wow. Nice. Wow.
It's a lot of stuff, and it's all really because we knew we got back in. Mm-hmm. And so when we knew it was going to be open. Said, okay, jazz festival. And I kind of said something about it. Said, you know, Aldrin's always up for that if you want. You know, he kind of, you know.
He's not doing anything.
He's cheap.
He's cheap.
You know, we don't have to fly him in.
Just don't make it Mondays and Fridays.
So then she thought about it. And, you know, we had other ideas. We had someone on tap for 2020. Mm-hmm. And we thought, oh, maybe we should go back to ask him. Mm-hmm. But then... We were just like, you know, Aldrin's here. He can rehearse with the band, which is something that the guest artists don't always get a chance to do. Like when we had Abe and DeShannon, they flew in like the night before or the day of.
They're good enough.
They got one run.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
Yeah.
And so that wasn't, you know. I think Sarah also liked the idea that we were going to be playing stuff that you had written.
Because
when
than just standards.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, with Abe, we played jazz standards. When we disbanded, we did. We all played in a small group between numbers, which is like a quartet for us. Mm-hmm. And when DeShannon was here, we did do a couple, and Abe did too. Actually, we did some of their original tunes in that format because it's a lot easier to rope together like 3-4 guys than it is to rope like 30 people together.
I think like last night or not last night, the night of the concert. Didn't you tell us that like Sarah was like, this is the first time I've arranged music for somebody that's alive.
Yeah, pretty much. That's, you know, and she really, you know, Sarah is definitely that person who, if she's going to do something, it's going to be good. Like she doesn't allow herself for it to not be good. And she will grind at it until it is.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she was crazy nervous about that. You know, just like, this is the first time I'm ever going to arrange something where not only is the composer of the piece alive, but he's going to be there.
Hearing it.
Playing it with us. Along. Hearing it, you know, in real time. Mm. And, you know, the word, and you even told me too, yeah. Like your biggest fear was like, the band's going to, this song sucks. We don't want to play it. Her biggest fear was that we were going to run through it and you were going to like, these arrangements suck. You know? So it's funny because everybody was scared of the same thing and right. None of it happened.
Like scared of themselves, but then oh, what are they going to think of me? But then at the same time, the other person is like, what are they thinking of me?
It was such a great collaboration, honestly. Like Sarah like was really good. She was very, you know, respectful of like of the lines that I've already written. So it's not like she's stepping on any of the toes of the instruments that were already there, you know? And she gave you the freedom to kind of do the bass lines as you saw fit, you know. So it's not like she didn't write the bass line for you, right?
No, it was just slashes and chords,
like, right? So it was still like a really cool collaborative, you know, like effort between like not just me and Sarah, but with you as well, because it's all like just suggestion, like, oh, here's the core, like kind of do what you got to do, because whatever you're playing could clash with what know, like trombones and stuff are going. But you did great, man.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking during the concert. I was like, man, this music sounds so good, but the bass, why did Sarah do that? No, I'm just joking. The bass sounded great. The bass was awesome.
So yeah, it was really cool. Like the whole process was awesome. And I've already said it like in this podcast before, like kind of getting my music for the first time, like that first day that we rehearsed and I got like Dance with the Bandito. I was just like, oh my God, what is this? Like, look, it has my name on it, Mike. Mike, it says Aldrin Guerrero on like where the composer's supposed to go. Like I've never seen that. You know? And it was really cool. I was just kind of like, I was scared, like you said, I was scared that like people were gonna think that like, oh man, this isn't like, first, it wasn't really jazz. You know what I mean? It's not jazz. Second, it's like, I don't know, like it's not, the chords are relatively simple compared to like to jazz pieces, right? You know, like and that I'm just kind of like hoping that people like it, because I didn't want people to think like, oh man, this is like too easy, it's like you should have given this to the high school, middle school even, you know, like to play, because like these are some like pretty like mediocre, really easy like songs, you know. But the way that like that Sarah took the pieces, and not only did she make them jazzy, but you know, like I thought that the band as a whole, the way that they performed it, really transformed the pieces, which is really cool. So let's give a rundown of which ones we did. Okay. So we did Dance with the Bandito.
Yep.
We did The Heist.
Mm-hmm.
We did Señor Victor.
Yep.
And we did Escape on Sugar.
And that was the big giant number.
Yeah. So Escape on Sugar, we had everyone, the middle school, the high school, and the college kind of play together. And it was fun. So what happened that night is I was featured in all three bands, you know. So for the middle school, I played alongside a song called "Best of What."
Maybe can you explain that too? Because like we've talked about how it's like the KCC.
Oh yeah, but so it's a spring concert for jazz, I guess combos and bands and stuff like for middle school, high school, and KCC.
Yeah, right? Normally it's just the KCC jazz ensemble.
Yeah,
but when we have the idea of the jazz festival, Sarah is also the director of the middle school. So
they're in. Yeah,
and Daryl's right there with Koi High, so it's very easy to get him to come and join up.
So that was fun, and you know, so I played with the middle school one first, and I played with the middle school. They played a bunch of songs. They called me up on their first number, which was "Best of Queen." So I got to kind of just jam with the middle schoolers on "Another One Bites the Dust."
Yep.
You know, that was like, that was super fun to just, it's like one chord,
yeah.
which is great for, it was a good start for me, you know.
Warm it up.
Just warm it up, and it was fun, and and I was trying to like not step on the toes of the middle school children. And Sarah's like, dude, just give it. Just go crazy. Like you wanna inspire these kids to wanna like, you know, to wanna pursue more jazz or to like to get better and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, are you sure? Because it seems like, you know, like
I worry what you say.
Okay, kids, it's my turn. I'm playing. Everybody stop.
And I was joking out with Mike, because there's a there's a song where they played where everyone got a solo and stuff. I was like, oh man, why didn't I play this one? It blew all the kids out of the water. No, it was fun. So we did Bessie Queen, and then with the high school jazz band, I did two tunes with them. I did Misty, mm-hmm. which I've said it on the pod, my favorite jazz song on ukulele of all time, and I got to play it with a cool jazz band. We did with like a with a bassy swing instead. Yeah. Oh, dude, that was so much fun.
Find it on ukuleleunderground.com lessons.
Like really, really, really fun. Yeah. And then my favorite song ever, my favorite song in my years of jazz band, because I was also in the jazz band playing saxophone in high school. There's a song called Coyote Cafe.
Yep.
Coyote Cafe. Loved it. Played it on my ukulele.
And for clarification, he means he played in that jazz band as a high schooler.
On,
a triumphant alumni returning.
Yeah, so it was cool. It was cool to get to jam that song again. And then with the college, you guys played your songs, and then I came in a Tito Puente tune called Ran Can Can. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. Like very Latin kind of feel. I was scared of the whole thing, honestly, because I'm not a jazz musician. So playing at a jazz festival and being a featured artist, I'm like, I just don't want to seem like I'm a phony. Like, somebody
is the only guy that could get.
You know what I mean? Like, in the audience, I thought someone's going to, you're a phony. Like,
hey guys, this guy's a phony.
Guys, this guy's a big fat phony. You know? Like,
He's not actually playing jazz chords. He's just playing regular chords.
All I picture is that lady from Princess Bride.
Boo! Boo! You know, so, boo, I say. So that's kind of what I was scared of. But I tried to put on my best jazz, especially for things like Misty, like the standards, you know, like in Coyote and stuff. Like, I tried to put on my best jazz, which is fine. It's fine. It was since I played with a high school jazz band, it matched. It was kind of high school level jazz that I was playing. And then when we did Ran Can Can, I was like, oh my god, this is like it's like two different kind of keys, but it's one key. It only goes to that second kind of weird pseudo key for like two beats, and then it goes back. So I'm like, how am I gonna do this? Just play. In my mind, I'm like, just play. If it's wrong, it's jazz. If you play the wrong note, just jazz it up, you know?
It's jazz, right?
It's jazz. It's jazz. And it came out fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ran Can Can came out fine. And then Sarah's like, okay, this is basically the world premiere of these songs. And you know, we played them. We definitely played them. played them well. You know, I thought the band did good. I thought, you know, but I mean, I'm just the harshest critic. And like during the time, it sounded fine, you know, because everyone's into it and stuff. But like listening back to the recordings, I'm like, oh man, like it was pretty darn fast. Like, I felt bad. I felt super bad for the band. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I put them through that. Like, because they gotta just follow me, you know. Right. Like if that's the tempo that I set, they're like, okay, but well, you know, you can't breathe that fast.
Compared to at our dress rehearsal, that also happened, and you could tell that a bunch of them. Yeah. Had taken it home and like, okay, just in case this goes a little faster than we're thinking,
because it will.
Let me just practice a little bit better.
Yeah, they did great. That's why I felt
and
bad.
A lot of those little lines, like the trumpet thing, the
beat,
dun 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 dun, and they were playing it then. It was like they probably took it home and just said, let me over practice this a little, over tempo this a little bit, just in case.
Thank you to everyone that played. Everyone knew
that you were gonna push.
Yeah, everyone knew that I was just gonna like 100 beats it up, you know. Like, and I think Sarah did also. Like, poor Sarah tried her darndest to like, here is the tempo, go. And I was just like, what?
Yeah. Faster? I can totally go faster.
And BJ, bless his heart, that like, you know, he's a drummer and he's a high school kid, you know, and he's like already nervous to play in front of me. So he's just like, okay, well, I guess that's Aldrin's tempo, and he's gonna just follow me. Like, I'm like, no, if you gotta slow me down, but I'll follow you, you know. He's like, oh, Mr. Guerrero, this is the tempo that you gave me.
That was kind of funny. Or it's like, he was so good.
Yeah,
like,
no, he's great. He's great. Great job.
And then, like, him and you, Mike, you guys, like, really kept it down with the rhythm, too, like, where you could hear. And it's like, I liked afterwards, too, where he's like, oh, Mr. Odo. And I'm like, oh, I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, Mr. Odo.
For a 17-year-old, BJ plays incredible.
Oh, no.
you hear that, BJ? You hear that?
Yeah.
he watches Ukulele Underground. He's saying it.
There you go. On the record, BJ, I am very impressed. I'm very happy. Thank you for all the hard work that you did. It wasn't just on my tunes, but it was in everything. Your Sidewinder solo, amazing. Yeah. Great job. Your solo also on Coyote Cafe, like bringing it back. Oh, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
MVP. I thought BJ was the MVP of the night. Yeah.
Yep.
So great job. Great job.
So for reference, he was so nervous to play with him because he was a fan. He'd watch the videos. I watch Ukulele Underground. And I'm like... And it was, I forget when. I think it was like last November when we were doing Elf together in the Pit Orchestra. And I had something, an Ukulele Underground something. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know that site? It's like, quite well. well.
Mike is featured prominently.
They still owe me money. We do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I just thought, he's a friend of mine. All these guys are friends of mine. I work with them, show up on the podcast. I'll play whatever they ask. And he's like, oh, really? I watch his videos. I love, I was like, oh. And then I was thinking to myself, should I tell you now that we're considering having him for the jazz festival? Or would that just freak you out way too much?
Because I think before the concert, like during rehearsals, right, you jumped on the piano, Aldrin.
Yeah.
And you're playing Sunday Morning.
Yeah.
And then he just jumped on the drums and he started
jamming. Yeah, and then Sarah came in and played trumpet. It was fun. It was a nice jam, man. Yeah. Sarah seems a lot more laid back during that day. Because that dress rehearsal Tuesday, she was so stressed. I felt so bad. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm messing this up for everybody.
Just for context, I think Jim was asking, like, how big were the bands, like, each one?
KCC's jazz band is more of a traditional style jazz band. So 4 trumpets, 3 trombones, 4 saxophones, 2 guitar, piano, drums, and bass. So whatever that adds up to. Kwai Hai's is a little bit smaller. 2 trumpets and a clarinet on that part. 1 trombone and like 5 saxophones. Plus Daryl, the director, was playing bass that night, although he normally has a kid playing bass. Drummer, piano player. Then Chiefus's is actually probably the most not jazz format just because it's whoever – she lets anybody – going to that band.
Middle school.
You just got to... You want to try it. You say you want to come, you come. Doesn't matter what instrument you play. So she's got like 5 saxophones, 2 baritone horns, a tuba, 3 trumpets.
Dude, that's cool, though. That's cool.
A flute player.
Yeah, baby's first jazz.
Baby's first jazz.
It's nice.
Didn't they mention that like the middle school and the high school is like volunteer programs too? So it's not like... it's a part of their band curriculum or like they're like, oh, you have to
play. It's an extra thing. Like, so Kwai Hai's is a class, which you do get credit for. You actually have to show up earlier. So I think the school starts at like 8:30 over there.
No, it starts like 7:45, 7:50, and they have to show up at 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 7:05, I think, is when the class starts.
Better than when it was math. So it was like 6 o'clock.
They call it zero period. So it's just like right before first period. That's what it is. Yeah.
And then Chiefus is, I believe it's Mondays and Fridays after school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and it was fine. And then we all played together Escape on Sugar at the end. I thought it went really well. So Aaron and Kahai and Kyle Ferruccio was also there, and they filmed the concert. So we might see some of that footage pretty soon. Maybe just Escape on Sugar. No need to show. Maybe just the sugar one. All right. Everything else.
Reason was a really good too.
Oh yeah.
I think you feel that, but I think it's telling that Kyle was like, "Man, I want to play. I want to get
on." He was itchy. He was "Oh, where's my trombone or trumpet?"
So it was good. I think it was good.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like during, because like I said, during the concert, like I felt, it felt pretty good. You know what I mean? Like the audience was into it. We were into it. People were hitting their, you know, like hitting their marks and stuff. I didn't even notice how fast it was until I watched the, like, because Tuesday, I definitely noticed how fast it was Tuesday.
Yeah.
But Saturday, maybe it was just like adrenaline, you know, like.
Adrenaline definitely probably kicked in.
You know, maybe I'll just sit down next time. Maybe sit down. Maybe like I won't be so bouncy, you know. Or if I had a stool, maybe I'll have a stool next time. Anyway, so it was really cool. I mean, just, you know, just kind of seeing how the band fits. Mm-hmm. And it was Sarah's here to kind of explain to us, you know, like where she came up with some of the lines that she did. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Escape on Sugar, you know, it's just for the, and it's a lot of repeating, you know, like repeating notes and stuff. And there's really only like three sections, just repeating over and over and over. So it can get kind of boring, but she added some lines in there that would make it move. And at her first draft was like, okay, it basically followed the music, but her second draft, that was the one that we played, which is like she had like the saxes play these long like legato kind of lines to you know how like in westerns like there's like long like kind of violin like lines. She added that and it made all the difference, you know, like really like kind of you know, like that kind of stuff into Escape and Sugar. And she was saying that, like, you know, so she was thinking of like Magnificent Seven, like the stuff to, you know, that's kind of her inspiration. I'm like, that's it, that's exactly it, you know, that kind of western, like give me that, you know. And It was amazing, but she was really cool to collaborate with at every step of the way. She's just like, you know, do you hear something that you didn't like? What did you like? You know, what can I do more of or whatever? Like, she was really, 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 like, just a professional to collaborate with. And I'm, you know, I'm not that, like, great of an arranger that I'm just like, dude, it just all sounds really good to me. It sounds really good. Yeah. Like, I think, you know?
Yeah, I'm not, like, in your head, you know what, like, the ukulele is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Drum, bass.
So beyond that, it's that, just, yeah, it's like, it's too much for my brain to comprehend. But I hear it, and I'm like, well, I would never thought of that. Like, that is actually amazing, you know? So I hear the lines that she writes, and I hear how it, like, bounces off the ukulele, and I hear the ideas coming through. I'm just like, oh man, that like adds so much more layers to the tune itself. So I would like
without
to
taking away,
without taking away from the ukulele. Yeah. Like it's not like stepping on the ukulele's toes. It's just adding more like melody that like that complements what the melody line of the ukulele is doing. Like another example is we played "Dance with a Bandit."
Yeah,
and "Dance with a Bandit" is a slow waltz. You know, and during that waltz, like I thought that the band like doing the background thing to kind of move the ukulele along was really good, because the guitar in the original recording is like kind of playing notes, and I was just expecting the band to play the guitar notes to that, but like she made like kind of her own lines that would move it more than the guitar would, because the guitar is kind of like doing like
it's arpeggiating, right?
You know. Yeah, because the main melody is. Whereas the guitar is going. I thought that's what they were going to do, but like, no. Like, she wrote like nice long lines to accompany the ukulele. And like, and the what made it cool was like the phrasing. And the dynamics that you guys did during those during those long lines, it really fit, and it was perfect. Honestly, like, I couldn't have asked for more.
Yeah, because like in "Dance with the Bandit," there's a bridge, right? And then it's like there's swells to kind of go with it too.
Yeah.
But then there's like the horns that like added some like things where it's like, oh, this kind of, it has like that forlorn kind of, it's like adding to that sense too.
Well, so there was a line where like the horns put on their mutes.
Oh, when the melody comes the in out of the trumpets?
The melody is, right? But just because that's the melody, that doesn't mean that's all I'm playing on ukulele. I'm adding all like the little finger picking things. So I consider those part of the melody as well, you know? But the main melody is, So the trumpets played the main melody with me, so that like when I kept going with the finger picking lines, yeah, it really added to like, yes, they're all playing the same melody together, but Aldrin's the one who's like kind of finishing that melody off, yeah, and really features it. It's so, it was so good. Like
their entrance and the end.
Yeah.
When
yes.
When Sid starts going really up and high.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So at the end. And then there's like there's that build that doo-doo, like right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right, oh, it's so good, man. I can't. It's just it yeah. really like it really hit me because these are just random songs that I wrote at like 2 a.m. You know? Like and I'm like writing a just even the costume of Bandito Tyler is because you know like Tyler ate some cookies. You know, it's like it's not a serious thing. Like and it just became this like and Bradford is out there laughing because he's the guy who created the Bandito Tyler character, you know. and every time we talk about it, we're like, this is like a joke that has just gone further and further yeah. and further yeah. and yeah. further, and you know.
It's so long it's not even Broadway. It's now it's serious,
yeah, it calls it to a Broadway.
I do have to put so you were talking about like the swells and the dynamics, yeah. So, see Kahai, 20 years ago, I kept telling you, dynamics is so important in music.
No, loud, all the time.
Mike, I can't take you seriously when you say that, and then in the same sentence you say, E sharp is not the same thing. It's the same thing. I'm holding the same note. Yeah. It's the same thing. No.
Yeah,
I think it would have been, it might have sounded good, and it would have been fine if like Sarah just like jazzed up your yeah. songs. But it felt like she really understood like the themes of the song, and she just built on that. Yeah. Too.
Yeah. She was like, "Man, like I guess she went on a trip." Yeah. And she's like, "I was just listening to your songs nonstop for the past like 2 weeks." I'm like, "I'm so sorry." what else was I gonna say? I'm like, "I'm so."
That was her. That's her premiere writing time though yeah. on the plane.
Yeah,
because what else dude. Are you gonna do, right?
Yeah,
she flew to Texas to go see the eclipse.
Yeah,
so like 5-6 hours there, 5-6 hours back. She was like, you know. Okay, there, dang. there. Yeah. Okay, listen. she really put a ton of time into
it. So she went to the mainland, watched the eclipse.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just wanted to know, because if anyone else, you know.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, some people use that as an excuse for a vacation sometimes, but not Sarah. Sarah's not that type of person.
No.
She is the type of person, second.
She came back. She still knew the music. She knew the changes.
She was
stuff.
Ready to go.
Yes.
She was ready to go.
Yes.
That's
crazy. It was great. No, honestly, it was great. And and the small little combo that we had, you know, with like guitar, bass, drums, ukulele, we played George Benson's Breezin. That was a lot of fun. That was just for fun, just to kind of like, hey, I can jazz. <You know? laughs> It's just me showing people like I can kind of jazz, you know. So here's a light jazz song.
Yeah, yeah.
George Benson is not like pop jazz, but you know, jazz. So we did that. It was fun.
Yeah, I think what you said too, where you're worried that people would be like, this isn't jazz. Mm. But what I was hearing like in the audience is like people were like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is not what I would expect from a jazz festival. And they were enjoying it.
Yeah, or ukulele.
Or ukulele. Yeah. Okay, so like what you were saying that like, you know, and what Sarah was kind of what was saying also was that she was excited at the prospect of like featuring an ukulele, you know, in the jazz festival, but not playing songs like Grass Shack or whatever.
Yes.
You know? Like,
well, yeah. You know, that's kind of the idea that one of the things that was very, very appealing about this project is oftentimes outside of like the realm of ukulele, you know what I mean? If you're featuring an ukulele with a group, oftentimes it turns into My Little Grass Shack.
Yeah.
South Pacific.
South Pacific. You know, a Tiny Tim song or something. It's just something very vaudeville-y. And a little kind of like kitschy. And this was not that in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. There was no gimmick. You know, that's what I see outside of like, I don't know, it's a weird statement, like the serious ukulele community. But, you know, like outside of that, ukulele oftentimes is used as people as a gimmick. It's cute because I'm playing the ukulele while I'm doing this. Yeah. And this was the...
that song?
Oh, yeah.
Great gimmick.
And so this was an opportunity for us to kind of poke through the curtain and say, no, we're going to treat the ukulele like we would a solo trumpeter, a solo trombonist, a solo, you know. And the interesting part is, like, this is the second time we featured a good ukulele player, but who also have wildly varying styles. Because Abe did his thing, and Abe's style is so different from yours, you know. And so if someone looks at both of those concerts, it kind of points out, like, hey, just so you realize, this is a versatile instrument. It can really do anything that the other instruments could do. This can do, you know. And outside of, you know, Hawaii and, like, these kind of circles that we run in, there's still a lot of people who are just like, what?
It's the instrument that Bugs Bunny plays, right? I love that.
I mean, you know, for most people, like, I work in a music store, a lot of people know that. A lot of times when I get older people from the mainland, you know, their idea of ukulele really is Brady Bunch Hawaii episode, Hawaii 5-0. Maybe if they're a little bit older, Elvis's comeback special. And maybe an episode or two of, like, Fantasy Island or something like that. And so none of that in reality is, like, really indicative of what's possible. And Sarah was very – that's what she was the most excited for, is the idea of, like, introducing something new that we all realize is doable. But, like, your average music director, say, in, like, Des Moines, Iowa
–
No, that's no idea.
Is this an ukulele song?
Well,
I think those were uke songs.
Yeah, and I think even people from Kauai who were there, they were surprised too. They were like, I haven't heard, like, anything like this before either, right? Like, this combination of instruments and ukulele and just the music put together. So
I mean, you know, it was really cool, and that's kind of how, like, Sarah framed it for me, because she was like, we've featured Abe, you know, as like, and we kind of showed, like, what the ukulele can do, like, jazz wise but this was like, this is that, but, like, different in the sense of, like, these are original ukulele songs that, like, that we're about to present to you folks in this big band way.
Which is also different than when we did it, because when Abe was here, he did a solo song by himself. And then he also did Good Times. But that was just me and a drummer and him. And he played on one of our encore, but it was just like, come up, play a solo. It wasn't like,
we're gonna feature you,
feature this as that. It was just like, here's another solo, like like when we did 25 or 6 to 4, which is also a very fun one, you know. But this is the first time,
it's our finale.
This is the first time where it's like the ukulele player was the guy who wrote the songs too. And we're trying to get those songs to come to life in a different format, you know, than a three piece, you know, guitar, bass, drums, you know, that type of thing. And, super fun, man.
Yeah, so it was...
So you missed out if you weren't on Kauai.
it was a good turnout, you know, what it was.
Because
I've been to, like, you know, I've been to the Abe one, and I was actually there for the Shannon one as well. Because that's when you guys did that Rocky tune, right? Or was it Rocky?
Yes, yeah.
Gonna Fly Now.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he was blowing that trumpet like it ain't no thing. It's so good. And I never thought of that song as, like, that complicated, because, you know, I just hear just the beginning part.
So you only,
like,
hear the
Sylvester Stallone running up the stuff. But, like, when you listen to the song, it's like, it's actually kind of difficult.
There's,
like,
a lot.
There's a lot of really cool lines in it. And for the trumpet, it is the trumpet song for me right now, you know?
Well, the guy who originally did it was a, you know, legendary trumpet player named Maynard Ferguson. And that was his band. They originally did that. So it takes a lot to live up to. I mean, a lot of people play the Rocky theme. It takes a lot to live up to it at, like, that level.
Actual.
You know, what it's supposed
to sound like.
You know.
Yeah. So it was cool. So I've been to, you know, to these performances before and stuff, and I thought the turnout the other night was really good.
Yes.
For what it was, you know, like. And
for anybody wondering, no, it was a free concert.
It was just for free. He could have just showed up. But I thought half of Kauai was, you know, coming from the Brewers Festival anyway. So they're like, oh man, too wasted.
I mean, you know.
Too wasted. But you know what? Jazz and booze kind of go together,
they
right?
Kinda, they kind of connected at the hip.
And then go, you know, could just go get some jazz in your system afterwards. They are conjoined, right?
Yes, very much.
Go to the brew festival and then come and get your cheese at the performance center.
Yeah, it was, you know, overall, I thought it was a fun time. I thought the audience, you know, like had a good time. The songs were arranged really well. I thought everybody did really good. It was just a great night, you know. I thought it was just a lot of fun. There's definitely, you know, things that could have gone better, but that's just me as a just being really. Yeah. You know?
That's also, as we said, that is the nature of live performance.
Yeah. You can always nitpick things. And
you can always do that. And yeah. No matter how much you rehearse, no matter how much you practice, it's never going to be 100% perfect.
And to give people context, we practiced four times.
Yeah.
that was it. Four times. We practiced four times.
Not together.
Yeah, together. Yeah. I was practicing in the green room. Like, I was there. The concert started at 7. I was there at 3:30 playing in the green room, like with my headphones on, like, and my phone. I'm like, this is the tempo, right? Like, because Sarah's like, okay, we're playing everything at the record tempo. So I'm like, okay, let's get these tempos in my brain. And I guess because of the adrenaline, it seemed like it was slower than, you know, than I was playing. But no, it was not there. So maybe next time I'll sit on a stool.
No, I thought about it. Next time I want you to like straddle the piano, like a lounge singer, right?
Yeah. All right. So for the last, let's give 15 minutes because we kind of talked on and on about this concert. Let's give the last 15 minutes for the audience to just ask whatever questions you want to ask.
Okay. Deborah said, can you all recommend a beginner ukulele book?
Yes. There's lots. So, of course, Treasure of Ukulele Chords. That's like a really good one. The 365 Days of Ukulele, like what is that called?
Oh, the Daily Ukulele.
Yeah, Daily Ukulele. Daily. Jumping Jim's Daily Ukulele.
And the Leap Year Edition.
Awesome. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a song a day. Like, that you can go learn and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you want to take the ukulele a little bit more seriously, if you're like, no, I want to learn, you know, like the... As a beginner, I think, you know, you can just pick up... Like, nah, I think those two. I don't want to...
I mean, there's a million ones out there. I would throw in... Depending on the path you want to take, I did find Dr. Byron Yasui's book, which was like basic reading for the ukulele, basic reading and basic ukulele was pretty good. It taught me a lot of things. Hal Leonard always seems to make a fairly credible book on whatever instrument. Yeah, outside. I guess it depends on whether or not you're looking for a book to teach you how to play the instrument.
Or just teach you songs.
Because like Daily Ukulele is awesome for that.
Yeah.
Teaching you songs. But if you don't even know how to hold it or shut, then a book like Dr. Yasui's or the Hal Leonard book might help.
Does that come with like a CD that they can play along to or no?
The Hal Leonard one does, for sure.
No, the Daily Ukulele.
I don't think so.
No.
But you could probably like look it up online.
Yeah. Because right? like, I think they try and keep it in original keys.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's really as far as just like, you know, I think just to get started with ukulele, because most people just kind of just want to start playing songs and then you want to like kind of dissect the instrument afterwards, but just play songs first to have some fun. I think the Treasure of Ukulele Chords goes hand in hand with that, because like if you got the basic chords down, then the Treasure of Ukulele Chords will kind of show you how to fancy up those chords and substitutions and things like that, just so that you sound like how you want to sound like. Because when you think ukulele, you know, like vaudeville, like 20s and things like that, it's like a lot of those kind of jazzy chords.
I would also recommend if you get something like that, Treasure of Ukulele Chords, and then just come here to Ukulele Underground and learn from him.
Watch the videos. A book is not necessarily
not the best teacher. Ukulele.
Even I've seen like some instructional books where they try to put pictures, but just it's hard to get a full grasp of like what am I supposed to look like when I play it, right?
Yeah. So that's one thing I like about the video format is that the mechanics of certain things is much more apparent there.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, most of us, all of us who started in band, we started with the first band book, where it's like, okay, well, I know what it's supposed to look like if I'm sitting there not doing anything with this horn. Now what?
Yeah. Also keep in mind that Ukulele Underground has never produced a book, so we don't.
Yeah, we're just not into the idea of like kind of using a book to teach you how to play an instrument. Like, it's not something that you read. Like, I mean, I always joke around about it. It's like kind of like reading a book on how to swim, but like, you know, when you read a book like on how to swim, it's, I don't know how, like, you know, unless you already kind of know how to swim and then use the book to like get better as far as form, like that makes sense. But if you're a beginner, you read a book and like, oh, that's how you swim, like that's not really gonna help that much. Yeah,
By the way, the best book on swimming is Total Immersion.
See, but you would need to know how to swim.
It didn't really help
me.
Like, the videos actually helped me a lot more than that.
Okay, let's ask another one.
Yeah.
Blayson said, is it just me or is it ukulele offer more viable chord shapes than a guitar?
I think you're thinking of it because like the ukulele is such a treble instrument that like when you're doing the chord shapes, a lot of the times the melody is there in within the chord shape. So when you're thinking viable and just kind of chord changing wise, like it's a lot easier, and you know,
four strings,
like, yeah,
two so, strings simpler than the guitar,
yes,
I guess,
than the guitar. So
not
and
necessarily.
I think it's more that, but you know, I mean, you're right to a point where it's just like it's a lot easier to kind of think about the chord choices that you have and the chord changing, like the going from one to another, and the switches between one shape to another is pretty viable. But I think, you know, I think it's because it's simple and because it's such a treble instrument, hearing the notes that you want to hear, like that's especially one that belongs in the melody line, is a lot easier on the uke.
Yeah. There's like pros and cons, right? Because like you said, when you're arranging for The Simpsons, it's like,
oh, yeah,
I can't play this on one uke, so I have to use multiple ukes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, next.
Well, I think that's pretty much all the questions, but I was going to ask you guys, like, based off of the concert, is there something that you guys feel like, or playing with this type of ensemble, is there something that you feel like you've learned now and like you would keep in mind if you had to play with this type of ensemble in the future?
Oh, yeah, like watch the conductor. Watch the conductor more. Because, like, I don't know, like, that was like my mantra the whole night, like watch Sarah. But like, what? And it's because it's my songs. Like, I want to just close my eyes and get into it. But if I close my eyes and get into it, then I'm not watching the conductor. It's not what I was, you know, like repeating in my head over and over again. So I had that like kind of like the tug of war in my brain of like, do I like just like close my eyes and feel it, or do I watch her? And it, that so. If I could go back in time, like, I would just tell myself, no, you watch her instead. You watch her the whole time. Follow her.
Yeah, it seemed like it was kind of hard because, like, Sarah was facing the band and, like, trying to direct them.
Yeah, but I could still see her hands, you know, like, doing, the count-offs and stuff.
You feel like you could still get enough of a grasp.
Yeah, I should have really just, like, instead of going off on my own, but, you know, to each his own. And, like I said, it still sounded fine. It was fine. I'm just really, like, you know, when it comes to judging myself, I'm the harshest judge, you know.
Is there something that you have to keep in mind, Mike? Like, you've kind of had experience playing with this group and playing with like other ukulele players before, but is it like there's something different about this concert that you kind of had to think about while you're playing it or keep in mind?
Honestly, no.
No,
because all the same things I've learned over the years, it's watch the conductor. That's a big one. Listen to the band.
Yes. That's another one.
Pay attention to the people you are supposed to be hooked up with. So for me, it's the drummer and usually it's the drummer and the guitarist. Mm. Me, BJ, and Greg.
Yeah.
If the three of us are like in sync with each other and the three of us are in sync with whatever Sarah's doing, everything else can lie on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the only difference was that when you weren't soloing, you became part of that. You know, listening to you changing chords and things like that, just trying to get, instead of the three of us, like the four of us, you, me, Greg, and BJ, if the four of us are basically changing the chords and putting that rhythm out the right way, everything's going to be okay. It lands on top of it, and it's almost like a roller coaster. If one, if the roller coaster has a wonky wheel, the whole ride's going to be just
bumpy
and terrifying. And if all four of those wheels are on the ground, on the track, doing what they're supposed to be doing, then the ride becomes very smooth. Even when you're thinking of like those just absolutely terrifying roller coasters, like at Six Flags, where things are like, you know, going
loop de loop.
But if, as long as those wheels are on the track, that ride, that's, to me, that's when the ride is fun, rather than like, I am now scared for my life. You know? So it's just an extension of that, but it's, but it is something you have to think about all the time. You cannot really autopilot that.
Yeah, because you kind of have to work as a unit.
Yeah.
Like, and that's,
you have to think of it like...
I can see where it's like, you, if you're not consciously doing that, you might get distracted by like hearing somebody else and be like, oh, that sounds interesting. What's going on there? And then get
lost. It's like, oh gosh, where am I? As anybody can tell you, if someone, if you're kind of zoning out, and it's good to listen to the whole band because you want to hear that as a, as a, as a thing, but you have to know which one is important to focus on and lock with. And if someone's, you know, something's happening, like say someone's like playing the wrong chords, like really, really like obnoxiously in your ear, it's, that's really tough. It's that, that's the wheels going bad.
Or it's like when they're doing like solos or something, it's like you don't necessarily want to be like, they're playing in a different key, so we should just all jump to that key, right?
Yes.
Because like at the end of the solo, the idea is that you're going to go back to whatever.
Yeah.
And really, if someone goes outside of the chords in the key, and especially in more advanced jazz, like they're doing it on purpose. So they're expecting to come back. If you try and go wherever they're going, it's like you're doing the opposite. They're trying to do something that purposely clashes.
It's like the roller coaster goes off the track and you're just like, keep pushing it off the track. Keep going.
At that point, it's just self-awareness, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, you're self-aware that like, okay, maybe this...
It's wrong. You should try. But, you know, like my friend Tony Kilbert says, it's a bunch of concentric circles.
Yeah.
All around. And the amount of circles you can be aware of beyond yourself just brings that, the rest of the world that much closer to you. And that's kind of the same thing in a band.
Yeah.
You know, if you're only worried about what you're doing, okay, maybe you'll play your part right. But then if you have, if you're not relating it to what everybody else is doing, it could be very
You're not
wrong.
Working as a band. Like, a band should work together.
You could be like, I'm playing my part right and I'm playing as loud as I should play and stuff. But then it's like, but it's not sounding good.
Yeah.
Or like,
well, and then, you know, something we talked about earlier, dynamics.
Yes. Yeah.
Something I've always, I've also said, and Kai probably remembers this, dynamics is only related to who you're playing with at the time.
It's true.
So piano, which is the soft
dynamic.
It's going
to be different for every
If you're, so if we're playing, if the four of us are playing in a group and we say quiet, the individual volumes will be louder than if we were in a 30-piece group doing the same thing. Because if we're in a 30-piece group and it's supposed to be quiet, everybody needs to play that much quieter for the overall effect to be quiet. Yeah. You know, if we all play the same thing as we did in a four-piece, the band would be loud.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So before we go, we do have a package that came into the mail. By the way, flash that address right now. If anybody wants to send this stuff, we always try to feature it on the show because we're very, very, very grateful to be receiving anything from anyone. So this one is sent to us by our very own mod of Dagobah, Mr. Yoda Sapien. So Yoda Sapien sent this to us over at Ukulele on the Ground, P.O. Box 1027, Kolo, Hawaii 96756. It's not my address, by the way, if anybody was wondering.
You don't live at the post office.
And even then, if you're like, oh, I'm going to see who this, like,
I'm going
to
hang out
to,
at the post office.
It's not. Yeah, it's not. Okay, so... Got some goodies, gang. I already took a look inside just in case, you know, Yoda's sending us, you know, SARS.
X-rated material.
So I guess, here, let me read it. I just wanted to send y'all a little something for fun. I've been playing with a 3D printer recently and thought, why not print up some card boxes? Knowing y'all like... Y'all, it's y'all. Knowing y'all like cardistry, these might come in handy. I've included some decks from my collection, which lean more toward hand magic. So they're not as flashy as cardistry decks. Nothing fancy, but I couldn't send the card boxes without a few decks. Enjoy, Yoda Sapien.
So, love it. Love it.
Oh, look at this. Hello. Yeah, hello. Nice. Oh, ukulele underground card case. So let's see. So you you know this opens like up.
Slide. Yeah.
And then you just slide the card out. Oh, and nice. What do you know? Star Wars playing cards, very on of brand.
Yeah.
On brand with Yoda Sapien. So it's cool because it has this magnet right there to make sure that it's nice and secure. So that the magnets kind of keep it together. Boom. It's not gonna like come off or anything.
Cool.
Amazing. So he got us this one. Here's the same one in white. I'm trying to. There. So you can see the ukulele on the ground logo. Can't see in this bright light. But yeah, there's an ukulele on the ground logo on the side. You can kind of see that. So the card in here is another Star Wars deck. Black Star Wars deck. Mahalo, mahalo, mahalo. And there's one more that's specific to a member of ours. Bam. See the KFC official.
What
card holder? Look at that.
How did you get that PNG or whatever?
My goodness. KFC. That's so Kahai. Cool. That's Kahai's face. This is the Kahai fan club. And of course,
Monarchs.
Yo, that's a standard. If we're not a jazz standard, this is a magic standard. Monarchs are a standard in card magic.
That is so cool.
So thank you so much. And he provided with some extra decks as well. So here's a he got some black artisans.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got us medallions.
Ooh.
So a bunch of these are 311 playing cards, and that's.
Yeah,
that's legit. Like that's and a question mark.
Oh. One,
like
mystery
a,
deck.
A mystery. Should we open up the mystery deck?
Hell yeah!
Yeah.
That looks like a mystery deck from. Oh my gosh, I'm such a nerd.
Yeah,
that,
show your nerd.
Yeah, that
secret lair.
Dan and Dave, maybe yeah. Mystery deck.
From or, Art of Play.
Yeah.
So an Art of Play mystery deck. Let's open it up. Boom. What did we get? Oh, bad robot deck. Sick. Look at that back.
Man, that sick. Hasn't been printed in a while. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, those are classic.
Awesome.
Decks.
Thank That's you so awesome. Much. Let's, so he said that, like, you know, they're, these are card magic deck holders, but, you know, and he didn't have, like, the cardistry. I brought one of my cardistry decks just to see how they fit in there. Here's the latest sky blue edition of Fontaine. Huh? Sky blue. Will it fit? Oh, like a glove. Like a glove.
I think me and Andrian, we both have like card clips, right?
Yeah.
Like the metal.
So this is so cool. Like, yeah. No more bent cards. Amazing. And ukulele underground, you know,
nice
brand. It's so cool. Thank you so much, Yoda. This has been amazing. So thank you. Boom. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Yeah, man, that's dope.
That's dope. That's dope.
The KFC
dope.
Was my favorite.
That's obviously that's Kahai's one, you know. So let's show it off one more time. The KFC. Boom.
It's so it's like cool. How did you get that though? Aaron, did you send him the file or anything?
No, he must have had a sticker. Like we probably sent him a sticker.
Yeah. So. KFC. Dang. One of one, Kai. This is one of one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of one. This,
unless he already circulated the 3D files on the internet.
What is your website, Yoda? You might be getting a cease and desist.
But it's so cool.
So available on ukuleleunderfans.com shop.
Yeah. How we should sell these. Who wants one?
Oh, no.
Email us. You want one? eBay. Yeah, it's eBay.
I gotta set the filter for our email.
Block all things.
Immediately put in spam and delete.
Oh, so thank you. That is so cool. That is dope.
Nice.
So yeah, thank you so much, Yoda, for the awesome gifts. Once again, flash it on the screen, Kai, if they want to send us stuff. Like, it's gonna be Ukulele Underground, P.O. Box 1027, Kolo, Hawaii 96756. That is the address. We get the physical stuff from there. A bunch of people send us stuff. And whenever people send us stuff, we always try to, you know, try to feature it on the show, just because we're grateful that anyone's sending us anything, you know, that people would spend even postage on us, you know? So
I think,
appreciate it. And more, you know, more so like a custom made like deck box. That's so thoughtful. Thank you.
Very much appreciated. But like, I think we've had people before say like, oh, I can only send a postcard or whatever. Mm. And even that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Because we put the postcards over there as well. Mm. We take a look at it, and it's kind of,
we keep it.
Kind of see, yeah, we keep it, and we take a look at where, you know, our members are from and stuff. So we have a really cool place.
It really is like, it is the thought that counts.
Yeah, it is, honestly. So you know, thank you so much. Thank you.
Are you excited, Mike, about when we get our podcast trophy and then you get to take half of it? Cut it in half.
We're just going to have a custody arrangement.
But then we're fighting over, no, you take it. No, you take it.
No, like, we should cut it in half, put it as side plates to a belt. Side plates to a championship belt.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna hold it up in front of everyone.
Oh, no.
You see this? This says that we're the best podcast.
Make it into a giant ring, so it's like you put the rings together.
Even better. So that every Friday jam, I'm wearing the ring, and we can see. It's like this body is this big. Yeah, it covers the whole hand.
Nobody knows what you're saying.
Oh, man, that's a great idea.
You're going to be like those old Slack key guys. It's like, you cannot see my hands.
Fusion Haas with that.
Yeah, because if it was a belt, I wouldn't even put the belt around my waist. I'd put it like around my neck. Like, that's like how some wrestlers wear it, so that people would have to stare at it all the time.
It's like, are you making a wrestler reference or a Naruto reference?
Dude, I said that that's what I was gonna do if I ever won like the Hokus. If I ever won, oh, well,
you'd
make
it
for myself.
You'd wear it
around
your neck.
Oh, I'd make it into a belt and like and wear it around like.
Would
like
it be a spinner?
Oh, whatever, you know, just the belt in general. I'd be like, yeah, this you earned this.
we know somebody who owns Hokus, right? Have we ever? Has he ever considered?
I told Brittany, I was like, yo, like.
Yeah. You should turn it into
a belt, Britt. The BP belt.
Yeah, she's got some to spare.
Yeah, she's got some. Come on. You got a few of them, right? Well, two of them for display and one of them, you know? Okay, anything else? Any other businesses, gentlemen, before we adjourn?
No, I think that's good. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. No. All right, we'll see you folks next time. Have a great one. Enjoy the rest of your week. See you on Friday for Aloha Friday Live Jam. Anything you want to say, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Nice to see all of you again.
Yeah, check out,
don't forget, shop.ukuleleunderground.com.
And check out Scotty's music on Kauai. Yeah? So see Mike in person.
Synergy.
Live, in person. You can hug him. He's a hugger. You know?
Yeah, you
also, Kahai, if you ever see a guy that looks just like the picture in the KFC logo, just go ahead and hug him. Don't even say anything. Just actually just creep up behind him. and then hug him from the back. He loves that.
Don't even ask, you know, if it's Kahai.
Yeah.
Find out later.
After the concert, when we were saying bye, Sarah was like, are you a hugger? And then Kyle was like, he just hugged me, so yeah. Kyle, come on. Don't give it away.
He offered you a hug.
Yeah. You know, it's 2024. You just don't know like how comfortable people are. I think she asked me too. Like, do you do hugs? Like, yeah, I do hugs. I feel like you gotta say that nowadays. Yeah. You know, like, you just don't know. Like, I was hugged against my own will. I just never know who's gonna say that. You know, but not Kahai, right?
No,
totally. If you see him down the street, like, sneak up behind him. He loves surprise hugs.
I'm glad. Did you guys enjoy the last time you would hear me in public? I'll be calling in on Friday from my little.
If you are one of our younger members, just run and jump on his back to hug
him. Yeah.
Yeah. He loves it. He'll give you a horsey back ride.
Yeah. Especially if you have children, like little children, just have all your, like if you have four kids, especially, like five, even better. I'll have all five. Just jump up on Kauai all the same time.
If you ever come to Kauai, you guys might be driving down the highway and being like, was that a guy in an iron mask? What's going on? Yeah. Not me, you know, just like, well, I don't know, might happen, so.
But yeah, so also, shop.ukuleleontheground.com to pick up that, you know, that new shirt that we have, that UU shirt that we were talking, we have a black UU shirt, and we also have tie-dye, and we have various tie-dye colors, and according to our members, came out pretty good, you know, yes. Like, so, get your tie-dye Ukulele on the Ground shirt right now at shop.ukuleleontheground.com. There's many other things in there as well. Ukuleles, ukulele accessories, lessons, and things like that. So you can go to shop.ukuleleontheground.com. If you want this awesome robot love song shirt, check out aldrin.com. Aldrin.com. Yeah. It's spelled exactly like how it sounds. A, nope. L, and then let Siri finish the rest of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Post a link. Yeah. But then you also have the Aldi Club.
We have the Aldi Club shirt. I'll wear that next time. I think my wife took it. She likes black shirts. So as soon as it came in, she's like, I'm wearing that. So it's going to be hard to like to kind of take that away from her. And it's kind of weird to just see me in a white shirt in general. Like I just don't wear white shirts. But yeah. This actually looks pretty good. You know, love it. And, you know, so if I ever like go to a Brewers festival and I'm like passed out and stuff, they're like, there's his ID.
You know,
like, that's Aldrin Guerrero. I recognize the signature anywhere.
I just thought we have the KFC. Yeah. What is Mike's fan club's name?
Oh, the MFC.
And we gotta come up with some kind of branding for Mike too.
So yeah.
It's the KFC versus the MFC.
No.
Mike, if you keep telling me that E sharp is F, there's gonna be a versus.
I have thought about making a shirt for that. Except I'm just gonna get one of those shirts that says, "Hi, my name is."
Yeah.
And then I'm just list every nickname you guys have ever made for me on it.
That'd be good.
Yes, Aldrin.com. We'll make that shirt, and we'll put it on Aldrin.com. Or the Mike shirts.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see you folks next time. Have a great one. Enjoy your week. Aloha.